It's your new way to get up.
Good morning.
This is Clarence M.
I am joined by Troy Nankervis. Now, he's from the Sydney Newsroom. And Troy, obviously the Royals are arriving very soon and you are currently down at the Sydney airport, I believe.
I am at the International's arrivals at Sydney airport, waiting for the Royals to walk through those doors into our wonderful country.
Exactly. I'm glad you're at the International because I'm sure someone's going to get stumped and end up at the domestic, I'm sure.
Well, the taxi driver dropped me off at departures and I'm glad I checked because I usually get myself in these sorts of
wrong
issues. But I'm at the right exit. I will say I'm 99% confident I'm at the right spot.
Great to hear. And it's just after 6 at the moment. Are they due to arrive any minute now?
Yeah, the plane is scheduled to arrive at 6:05. It's actually it's quite quiet here. There's only one TV camera currently set up. I was expecting a lot more media.
Wow.
But hey, we're flying the flag representing. So.
Yeah, good to hear. And obviously, what have they got in store for the next? How long are they here for? And what have they got in store? I guess.
Yeah, sure. So they're here for about 3 weeks. The main purpose of the trip is for the Invictus Games, which start on the 20th. It's that's a week-long games kind of dedicated to military personnel that have been injured.
Yes.
So that's taking place in Sydney. But on top of that, they're doing a trip all around Sydney and Melbourne. They're also going to Dubbo.
I know.
To see some drought-affected regions to meet some of our farmers doing it tough. I believe they're also going to Fraser Island, and they're going to pop over to New Zealand for a bit as well.
Awesome. They've got a lot in store, don't they? Now, this reminds me of, I was reading somewhere, a very similar trip to the Duke of Sussex's parents. After they got married, they seemed to do a bit of a trip to Australia too.
I believe they did. I don't have the itinerary of what they did, but no doubt they would, you know, be doing a lot of the similar sort of landmarks and bits and pieces that Harry and Meg's are going to be checking out while they're here.
Yeah, because I'm looking at a photo, Prince Charles and Princess Diana. It was back in 1983. It's a photo of them in a Cadillac outside the Sydney Opera House, and it is packed to the brim. Probably more people there than a Paul Kelly concert. Is that what we're going to expect? Just huge floods of crowds of people, especially in Sydney?
We hope so. That is actually on their itinerary. They'll be checking out the Opera House. And I think, especially given the numbers that tuned into their wedding a couple of months back, as well as Princess Eugenia's wedding on Friday, that won the night for TV ratings. So
wow.
I think the Royals are definitely still pretty popular among Aussies.
Hey, mate, are you going to try and get a selfie with them? Are you allowed?
I'm gonna try my very best.
Good.
I think they'll be a bit jet lagged. I've done the London to Sydney flight myself, so they might not be too chatty.
Yeah, especially after a few drinks after the wedding, maybe. Ooh.
Oh, well, you know, they're probably still coming down from a few two shandies, maybe. I don't know.
With Eugene, absolutely.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. Well, Troy, thanks for joining me this morning. We'll probably have to get an update at some point later, maybe in the week, if you're available. Thanks for chatting with us this morning, and good luck when definitely some more media rock up soon.
No worries, Bill. Thanks so much. Have a good one.
And obviously, thanks, Troy. While we've been speaking, I've been watching the television, and they have landed down. British Airways flight is on the tarmac. I think I've got a better view than Troy, who's actually there. They're currently trying to line it up with the little carriage that you walk through. So it is looking pretty wet, though. It's looking wet and damp for their arrival. It's Meghan Markle's, obviously, first time in the country. And it doesn't look like the best weather for it. However, it's going to be getting better over the next few weeks. So I'm sure they'll be experiencing some nice, warm weather. It's good to have them in the country. If you care, you care. If you don't, you don't. At least it'll be a bit of revenue for the country too. It's always a positive one, isn't it?
Listen up.
This is Claire and Sam.
This is absolutely bizarre. Last week, I shared with you a story about an emotional support animal now allowed on flights over in the US. It is, in fact, this animal here. Volume would be good. An airline company has changed their policy to fit miniature horses as able to fly with their passengers. So now, not only is it cats and dogs in terms of support animals, it is also now horses, miniature horses. So if you have a miniature horse and it's there to support you emotionally or physically in terms of eyesight or hearing, then it's all clear, dear. However, this has just gone up another notch. A woman has tried to get a squirrel. That's right, a squirrel, a rodent. A squirrel on the plane claiming it was an emotional support animal. It didn't go too well. Frontier Airlines in Orlando. She was on the flight. She had marked on her ticket or her boarding that she had an emotional support animal. She didn't classify what that was. And I guess it's also the airline's fault for letting her get this far. She was actually on the plane with her squirrel. She let it out and then all hell broke loose. She refused to get off the flight. People were just looking everywhere going, what the hell is happening? Eventually, she still refused to get off the flight, but eventually they had to get on the police. Orlando police had to get involved. They had to restrain her and they had to kick her off the flight. There's funny footage of her coming out on a wheelchair. She's actually pulling the middle finger at the police, but then the crowd starts cheering. All the people waiting to board another flight, the crowd starts cheering and she puts the thumbs up. So, I don't know, a bit going on there, a lot going on there, but Frontier went on to say that they do not allow exotic animals on board, which is fair enough, and that the passenger noted in their reservation that they were bringing an animal on, but they did not indicate what type of animal it was. It's quite funny that they didn't ask the question, because I thought that was probably an important thing, because I could go on with anything. And that's exactly what someone else did. It happened earlier this year where a woman tried to actually bring, and this is not wrong, this is serious. There was actually a photo of this animal in the airport. Someone tried to bring a peacock on board a flight in New Jersey. That is just going absolutely bonkers.
This is Clarence M. Let's go!
And I wanted to quickly discuss Lifeline. They've brought out a new feature, which I think has been a long time coming. They're finally, I think, getting with the times with this one. They have brought out Lifeline text. Now, they say when life gets too much and you find it hard to talk, just text. It's 0477 13 11 14. So it's like their number, but with 0477 at the start. It's only a trial service at the moment. It's going to be available from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. 7 days a week. Now, they go on to say that if you're struggling to cope or thinking about suicide, support is available. You don't need to face your troubles alone. Lifeline's crisis supporters are available via text message now to listen and keep you safe. I think that's really good, especially with a lot of young people, including myself. We tend to text a lot more than talk, so I think this is a great service that they're bringing out. It's only going to be available for a few months, and when using the service, you'll also have the option to provide feedback as part of the service evaluation, I guess. So it's only for a few months, but depending on how the trial goes, it hopefully will be longer term, but it's only from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. in the evenings. It's going to be determining the feasibility of a national text-based crisis support service, including the extent to which such a service may improve the provision of mental health services to Australians. So it is great. It is being delivered by Lifeline's trained crisis supporters, so it's similar to calling, but obviously they'll be replying via text. So it'll be providing, I guess, the same compassion you receive from over the phone. No judgment, all the rest, which is great, but all through text message. And if you feel, if you find it hard to talk to someone, at least now you've got the option to text. So it's for a few months. It's from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. in the evening, obviously, because I said p.m., 7 days a week. Now, the number again is 0477 13 11 14.
Listen up.
This is Claire and Sam.
It's also a very important month. It is Breast Care Awareness Month. And in conjunction, obviously, Pink Up Griffith, that is happening right now thanks to Griffith Real Estate. Make sure you donate generously. Get to the events. There is so much happening throughout this whole month. There is plenty going on, so make sure you get involved. Just head to the Pink Up Griffiths Facebook page or Griffith Real Estate's Facebook page, or give Griffith Real Estate a call. I know there's heaps happening. F45 had a great morning on Saturday, raising almost $500, so well done to them. And Fiona Shields. Apologies, had to sneeze. Fiona Shields, she is the McGrath breast care nurse for our area. She joined Claire and I for a chat just last week, and we asked what Fiona does as a McGrath Foundation nurse. Have a listen to our chat here.
My role is basically to support people that are diagnosed with breast cancer and their families. And the good thing about it is I'm free. Everything's free. Right. So I can help people with emotional support, explain to them in simple terms what all the medical jargon means.
Yeah, it can,
so that they
can
understand.
It can get confusing sometimes when you've got 5 or 6 different doctors telling you different things. You're not sure what avenue to go down, who to see. So you're there to explain all of that.
Yep. And to basically be their main contact person so that, you know, if they've got a question, they can ring me and ask me and I can point them in the right direction.
That's great.
And as you mentioned, it is all free because that's the main thing McGrath Foundation does.
Yeah, that's right. The McGrath Foundation just basically raise funds to place breast care nurses like myself out in the community Australia-wide. And also their other main aim is breast health understanding, so breast awareness.
And speaking of breast awareness, I mean, it is Breast Health Month. So what kind of things should we be looking for when it comes to checking your breasts? I know you're supposed to do it regularly, but what exactly should you be checking for?
Look, the idea is to look, feel, and learn. So look at your breasts and feel them so that you know what's normal for you. So look at them in the mirror, you know, have a look, put your arms above your head, see if there's any changes. Look for main changes, any lumps, inverted nipples, any discharge from your breasts, just things, basic things like that. Any change you see, remember, don't panic. 9 out of 10 lumps are actually not cancerous.
Sometimes they can be cysts or other things, right?
That's right. That's right. Any veins or anything like that you see, they can be non-cancerous. So, but go and see your GP and get it sorted out and they'll take it from there.
Is breast health understanding, I guess, getting a lot more attention now that there's foundations like the McGrath Foundation and there's months like the Breast Awareness Month?
Yeah, it is. And it's all about early intervention.
Yes.
You know, so that people are aware of what's normal for them. So that if there's something abnormal, they can then go see their GP and then hopefully they'll send them to breast screen, you know. Everyone's getting diagnosed earlier and there's over a 90% survival rate now with breast cancer, which
that's
is
really
amazing.
Good, yeah.
So,
okay.
And it's all due to early intervention.
Cool. Now, something else, Fiona, that I think we don't mention much is that men can also get breast cancer, can't they?
That's correct. Men need to look, feel and learn as well.
Uh-oh.
There's over 18,
I have not done that yet.
That's you, Sam. There's over 18,000 women diagnosed and about 150 men every year.
Still quite a bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's probably, obviously, as myself, I can vouch for that, it's not very well known, is it?
No, that's right. And a lot of people just think, oh, it's a women's thing, but men have breast tissue as well. So.
And you know what? I love pink. Pink's a great colour. So I'm happy
Real
to get
men
behind
wear pink.
It. Exactly.
It is Pink Up Griffith Month as well at the moment. Now, what exactly is this doing for the McGrath Foundation?
Okay, so raising funds for the McGrath Foundation, it's so that they can put money towards breast care nurses in areas of need.
Okay, so like yourself, for instance.
Like myself, yep, that's right.
Fantastic.
Yep.
And are you working 3 days a week at the moment?
Yes, 3 days a week, Tuesdays, Wednesdays and Thursdays.
Are you flat out?
Can be, yeah. Some days it's a very long day.
Yeah.
It must be exhausting because you're dealing with obviously people that are affected by breast cancer.
Yeah, and it's an emotional trying time for them. You know, you've got to try and be that central person to try and keep them centred and keep them anchored so they understand what's going on. The more you know about something, the less scary it is.
Absolutely.
Exactly right. So I guess, Claire, as you mentioned, it is Pink Up Griffith Month. So
yeah,
the more money raised, the more money that can go to the McGrath Foundation to help people like Fiona.
You can even go to Griffith Real Estate right now and purchase some packs. They've got these fantastic packs for your business, for tradies as well.
Yes.
You make a donation, they'll make you up a pack, and it's all helping to support this Pink Up Griffith Month.
Love it. Thank you, Fiona. We appreciate what you do for our area.
Yeah, absolutely.
And we hope that we can raise as much money as possible.
Great, thanks.
This is Clarence M. Let's go!
This is probably an unwelcome news for mums everywhere, and it's the first day of school for a lot of you. Back to school, sorry, I should say, for a lot of your kids. And I've got some news that maybe you can agree with, but you don't really want to hear. Apparently having children can actually age you by 11 years. Now, I'm not sure if it's 11 years per child or 11 years total, But that's what scientists, and this is serious, that's what scientists have come out and said. Because a new study, it has suggested that women who give birth definitely age faster than child-free women. Now, you may have reached this conclusion already yourself, or you may be shouting at the radio right now and saying, no, that's not true. But I guess in fairness, you've got too much time in terms of you've got too many lunch boxes to pack, get the kids to school, you've got no time for facials, going to have fun and holidays and all the rest. So maybe there is some truth to it. But this is the science side of it. 2,000 US women aged between 20 and 44, they were studied. And basically, the scientists found that on a cellular level, those who had given birth had the equivalent of an additional 11 years to those who hadn't. So basically, by having kids, you are actually adding possibly more than a decade onto your biological age. Now, obviously, that's a biological age, so other factors can help you bring that down. Other factors can help you bring that up. It always changes. But the real kicker is scientists don't actually really know why. They know it's something to do with the DNA chromosomes. I'm not going to get too sciencey because I don't understand it either. But something about certain chromosomes shortening with time, and it is believed that having kids seems to shorten these certain chromosomes, and that is linked to higher mortality rates and physical signs of aging, such as grey hair or wrinkles and stuff like that. So 11 years gets added when you have a kid. I probably need to have a kid ASAP because that would be mature myself up to a 36-year-old, which is probably what I need to be at the moment. But yeah, 11 years, that's quite a lot. And you can agree or disagree, but I'm sure most of you will probably agree that it is quite stressful. I know I probably aged my parents at least probably 21 years, let alone 11.
Right now. Gotta
get it. Radio. That's great, man. That's personality.
The most popular entertainment show. Gotta get.
Scoopla with Dean McCarthy live in LA.
Good morning, Dean. How are you going, mate?
G'day, legend. Good morning. Happy Megan Monday.
You know what? Yes. Monday. Guess what's just happened, Dean? Huge news. Watching Channel 9 right now. Prince Harry and Meghan Markle have just come out of the plane. They have just got into their Escalade or whatever the hell they're driving, and they are getting wished away right now. So they were just on the screens for about 15 seconds, and now they're gone.
You know what? Aren't they flying on a commercial flight? Is that right? Did they come on British Airways?
No, guess what? Guess what? They came on Qantas.
Oh, they came on Qantas.
And no one expected it. That was the best part about this morning. Here we go. Usually you tell me the goss, but I'll give you some goss, right? All the media companies, including ourselves, we expected them to come on a British Airways flight at 6 a.m., 6:05.
Yep.
No one expected them to arrive an hour later on the Qantas flight.
Wow.
And they've just been whisked away now.
Yeah, that's actually why I thought they were coming on British Airways. But you know what? Let me tell you what's happening as we speak underneath the plane.
Ooh,
they are unloading Meghan Markle's 35 outfit changes.
So 35?
76 engagements they have to do over 16 days. Meghan has 35 outfits, and that includes Dolce & Gabbana and the really big Italian designers, as well as some Aussie designers as
okay,
well.
Okay, good,
so
good.
She's going to look amazing, you know, which is pretty exciting. And yeah, they're going to Dubbo. They're going everywhere.
I know, they're going just north of us, which is, they're so close to us yet so far. And we're going to hear about the Royals for the next few weeks a lot, but we'll move on to see what's happening over in the US at the moment. Now, the Prince estate, obviously he passed away not too long ago. The estate's suing Donald Trump?
They are. Here's the lowdown. Now, when Donald Trump does those big rallies, you know how like they all get together and they're all in those red hats? When they get together and when Donald Trump takes the stage, his team have been playing the song Purple Rain.
Oh,
Prince,
no.
Right? Now, that's actually allowed because it's not a ticketed event. So if they were charging people to attend, that is, that's against, you know, trademark laws or whatever, music laws. But because it's a public event, they're allowed to. However, his estate of Prince, are so upset that the president would play his song. They've sent a cease and desist
letter.
Good.
So that they are to stop him and his team from playing, you know, Prince as he arrives at the actual event. So they're really offended by it. They don't want to deal with it.
But as you said, if they're not breaking any laws, what is the cease and desist letter based on? Is it emotional trauma or what's going on?
I honestly don't know how they're getting around it. They're just so... maybe they'll be playing some type of card like it goes against... his beliefs go against their moral. I don't know. There'll be some kind of loophole, I guess. Yeah. But yeah, apparently, present. Pull it in.
Fair enough. And of course, mate, it's just been the weekend. What's happened at Cardi B's birthday party? How old is she?
Okay, let's see. Okay, she turned 26. Good question. She turned 26. Let me set the scene for you. On Saturday night at a place called Sussex and Essex. I can never say the name.
Oh, Sussex. That's fitting in with the Royals at the moment.
Yeah, right? So at midnight, the party started. She didn't turn up until 2:30 a.m.
Oh.
Now, when she turned up, people were already leaving because, hello, it's 2:30 in the morning.
Bedtime.
Anyway, she gets there super late. She comes in with Kourtney Kardashian and Prison Bay, who is that Jeremy Meeks guy. Remember him?
With the teardrop on his eye? Yes.
Yeah, the hot mugshot guy. He came, their friends, that's random, and they all partied the night away until the early hours of the morning. But there you go. That's how they
not even Cardi B can, hold a crowd at 2:30 in the morning.
There you have it.
Don't blame him. Hey, Dean, thanks for joining me this morning. It's going to be, boys club all week, just me and you. So yep. I'm looking forward to another big 4 days of celebrity goss.
Bring it on. So good to chat. Bye, mate.
Claire and Sam.
Weekday mornings from 6.
Hit 99.7.